This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello everybody, my name is Bo Bennett and I am the host of the Toastmasters podcast. Well, this is part three of our international convention series of podcasts. We have four great interviews coming on up, so sit back, listen in, and enjoy.
And joining us now from San Diego is distinguished Toastmaster, past district governor, and accredited speaker, Cheryl Rausch. Cheryl is going to be presenting a session at the international convention entitled Heart of a Toastmaster. Cheryl Rausch, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thank you, Cheryl. Yay!
So, Cheryl, I understand the session you're presenting is based on a book of the same title. Can you tell us what Heart of a Toastmaster is all about?
Yes, thank you. It's an inspirational collection of true stories, tributes, and heartfelt messages by, for, and about our members. And over 200 stories were contributed from our members, active members from around the globe, for contribution into the Heart of a Toastmaster book. And it's truly a catalyst for sharing, overcoming adversities, facing the fears of public speaking, being a catalyst for that change, for stepping up and being part of our global family of support, using Toastmasters skills in the community, and the extraordinary pride of membership that we all have for this organization. So this session on Wednesday, August 21st, is a full 90 minutes packed of Toastmasters who are published in the forthcoming book sharing their stories. These are real people, real stories, real members with real heart. It's never been done before.
So to make sure I'm understanding you correctly, this isn't you sharing all of the stories of these members, but some of these members are actually going to be co-presenting with you, coming up on stage and sharing their...
They are. They are going to be showcased, and it will be by special invitation.
So in addition to showcasing the speakers, I'm guessing you'll have plenty of stage time to what? Talk about your book, or how are you going to be approaching the topic of Heart of a Toastmaster personally?
Well, my approach on this is that I may open sharing a little of my story of how I first wandered into a Toastmaster meeting, having been invited, and how I had no idea how it would change my entire life. That was 26 years ago, and I am still an active member of that same club, Voyagers 5315, in District 5 in San Diego. 26 years later, it has changed my life, changed my career, changed my purpose and my area of service in life. And I have such heart for Toastmasters that it's a thrill to represent the organization and help the members find their voice. Our magazine is a monthly showcase of incredible stories that are written, and working with Paul Sturman in the magazine staff, that he's brilliant in what he does and how this is all being edited. So what I foresee of this presentation is that it's a showcase by, for, and about our members. I will facilitate and MC the program, bringing in the different parts of it and really elevating the pride and passion that we have of our membership. And it's pretty exciting.
How did you choose the presenters for this session?
Based on their stories, based on their stories are so passionate that, matter of fact, several of these could be world championship final level presentations. They were that well written, but they are all true stories, and they have to be true and have to be from the heart in order to have been accepted into even the manuscript stages. That based on these people will be published in the book, they will be showcased on the stage, sharing what their stories are.
Okay.
And as you were looking for these people, are you looking specifically for people who've achieved, I'll say, the heights of greatness as speakers, or is that not necessarily
a requirement
for the showcase?
What if they overcome? How have they faced the fears of public speaking? Maybe how are they using it? Also stepping up where leaders are made. So how have you stepped into leadership? And keep in mind that these are not professional speakers. These are not world champions. These are competent communicators. These are able Toastmasters. These are new members. These are veteran members. However it is that they are using Toastmasters and the benefits of this organization, that's what we're looking for, is as how are you reaping the benefits of this incredible organization? And to quote Helen Blanchard, that if you get everything you can out of Toastmasters, you will never get out of Toastmasters.
Nice. You know what? I didn't read the book yet, or I didn't go to your performance, but I am inspired just by hearing you talk about it. So I'm looking forward to seeing this.
Thank you. Well, make sure to be there because we need your podcasting too. You are going to be wanting to interview these contributors and hear it in their own voice. And that's everything that this is about. And right now, matter of fact, Toastmasters is pre-ordering copies of the book. We're trying to gauge how many people are going to be purchasing the book. So we make sure they have the books in hand that everyone can walk away with. So they can pop me an email at Cheryl@CherylRausch.com and let me know how many copies to reserve. We, in addition to this, because it is the official launch of this book for the members, then all of the contributors who are published in the book will be at book signing tables in the back of the room. I'm anticipating 20 to 30 members having a huge bookstore blitz where members start at the beginning of the line and have each of the contributors go through and sign on their pages. This is truly a collector's item. It's members pouring out their hearts, and you want to be there. And this is on Wednesday. So this is the very first session of the entire international convention in Cincinnati, where this is opening educational session, 90 minutes, even before the first-timers gathering, even before the opening ceremonies, and before any other educational session on Thursday or Friday.
Nice. So one more time, Cheryl, if you would share with us the date and time of the presentation.
Wednesday, August 21st, from 3 o'clock to 4:30 p.m., be there early, get a good seat, meet the contributors. We will be in the Grand Ballroom at Duke Energy Convention Center in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Fantastic. Great. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing with us about your session.
Sounds great.
I'll see you there.
All right. Thanks so much, Cheryl.
Bye-bye.
And joining us now from New York City is globally recognized leadership expert, corporate consultant, and keynote speaker, Erica Dewan. Erica is presenting a session at the International Convention entitled Unleash Innovation with the Power of Connectional Intelligence. Erica Dewan, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Erica.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Erica, the first question I want to ask you is about connectional intelligence. I noticed from looking at your session title that term is trademarked. So my question for you is, first of all, who is the trademark holder? And secondly, what exactly is connectional intelligence?
Wonderful question. So I coined the term connectional intelligence about a year and a half ago with a co-author named Sajna Kuljonai. And connectional intelligence, in essence, is the capability to consistently deliver breakthrough innovation and results by harnessing the value of relationships and networks. So many of us all know what IQ is, and in the last decade, emotional intelligence, known as EQ, has been seen as really a key to innovation and growth. And I see the next century to be a century where the true breakthroughs are coming through connectional intelligence.
So what is the difference between connectional intelligence and emotional intelligence?
Absolutely. So emotional intelligence is really a capability related to interacting with other people and managing emotion while interacting with other people. Connectional intelligence is entirely different. And the way I like to describe it is, if you think about history and you think about when railroads were created, humans, for the first time, came to big cities, and we shifted from an agrarian to an industrial economy. And with that shift, people were interacting more, they were living in big cities, and we saw a rise of native emotional intelligence of humans. And in the last 25 years, due to technology and the hyperconnectivity that we live in, anyone with a browser or smartphone can connect, can convene, can marshal resources, all in real time, all over the world, at a faster speed that was unimaginable years ago. And this is really the power of what I call connectional intelligence. This is the power to realize value from these networks. And I would say that in the past, connectional intelligence has been a part of emotional intelligence. But today, given our hyper-connected global world, it's been unleashed to an entirely new capacity that is changing the way we look at the world, changing the way we look at business, and it's changing the way that we can really redefine what work and what leadership is going to look like in the future.
Okay. Could you give us maybe some specific examples of how we can leverage these networks of relationships to achieve innovation or breakthrough results?
Absolutely. And the way that I like to give some description is through what I call the four capabilities that make up connectional intelligence. And these four capabilities are, first, contextualization, so the ability to increase your context and the way that you see the world, whether it's moving faster, more global, in a quicker rate, whatever it might be. The second is what I call combination, which is this ability to take people, ideas, and resources and recombine them in radically different ways. The third is what I call combustion, and combustion is really this ability to curate and mobilize diverse networks in pursuit of a goal. And the fourth is what I call courageous conversation, and courageous conversation is really this ability to have charged, difficult conversations despite forces to silence and control. So one great example that I love to use is during Super Bowl 2013, there was a blackout. And during the blackout, while the football teams were keeping their muscles warm, while fans were eating snack chips, right, and electricians were scrambling, Oreo, the company, had already come together, their executive team and their design team, to watch the game. And when this blackout happened, they decided to create a Twitter ad that was called "Power Out, No Problem, You Can Dunk Your Oreo in the Dark," right? Very witty. And what happened is they decided to create this ad in real time within 15 minutes of the blackout, put it up on Twitter. And what happened is this ad became the top Super Bowl ad entirely for 2013. So it had 14,000 retweets, 20,000 Facebook likes. And the interesting thing is that Oreo had a multi-million dollar commercial at the Super Bowl. But what was more profound for them was this Twitter ad that they put up within 15 minutes during a real-life surprising event that they didn't expect, which was the blackout. So that's connectional intelligence in today's age. That's being able to connect at a faster, cheaper, more global rate and really create a breakthrough that people haven't seen before.
Right.
Very good. Very good.
Good example.
So, Erica, could you just tell us as we wrap up here what the style of your session will be? Will you be, I imagine you'll have to, before you can kind of give people skills in these areas, you'll be giving an overview of this whole notion of connectional intelligence. Are you going to have any interactive components or more lecture format? What do you have in store?
Absolutely. So all of my sessions are 100% interactive and engaging for the audience. We'll spend some short time going through the keys, the capabilities of connectional intelligence, but we'll spend the majority of our time together really talking about how the participants can take it back to their teams and to their clients and also elevate their own connectional intelligence to drive breakthroughs. So I'll have a quiz that people will take. We'll have some interactive portions where people will answer questions in pairs and also report back. And we might even do a little bit of movement or a little surprising stuff to really, again, connect not only with our minds but our hearts when we talk about connectional intelligence. So might get some extra special surprises in the session.
Sounds fun.
All right. Yeah, sounds like a fascinating topic, Erica. And I see you are going to be presenting this session Friday, August 23rd. From 3 to 4 p.m. Thank you so much for joining us today to tell us about your session.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. And stay in touch on ericadewan.com and can't wait to be at the session.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
And joining us now is Dr. Hassan Teta. Dr. Teta is a U.S. Navy commander and assistant professor of surgery at the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences in Bethesda, Maryland. Dr. Teta, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and it's an honor to be here with you.
Great. Well, Dr. Teta, the title of your session is Exceeding Expectations, How to Create an Enduring Personal Legend. What exactly do you mean by an enduring personal legend? Are we talking about throwing another Bigfoot into the mix here?
Absolutely not, no. What my session is aimed at doing is providing for individuals a roadmap to discovering their purpose, ideally in life, and perhaps in their current endeavors. And the context of that comes from the experiences that I've had as a surgeon, particularly as a transplant surgeon, and recognizing and having a perspective of the frailty of life in the moments of trauma and loss, and in the moments of triumph and miracle. And what I try and convey to the audience is not only the delicacy of life, but how one must have gratitude for the moment that they have in terms of being alive and being present in the space of life, and ideally finding purpose and commitment in that life.
Interesting. I see your session also promises answers to life's most urgent question. Of course, we don't want you to give the entire secret sauce away today, but could you give us maybe a little bit more of a protracted teaser on that?
Sure. It's almost counterintuitive, but it is a well-known fact that finding one's meaning in life and finding one's purpose is inherently related to helping others. And when one comes to the session, they'll understand that in greater detail. And so, again, to not give away the secret sauce, but maybe to tantalize and entice folks to come, I think they'll find something very telling in the message. And we'll find something that they're unexpecting, something unexpected, but something that is actually a truth. And a truism, if you will. But it does promise to ensure that individuals will leave with a better sense of their purpose in life, and more importantly, a roadmap and blueprint, if you will, in terms of how to achieve that purpose and how to make a real impact in the world.
And could you tell us a little bit about the format of your session? Do you plan to make it interactive with the audience or more of a lecture format? What do you have in mind?
So that's a great question. So the format is going to be what I like to call a montage of both didactic as well as interactive and participatory experience for the audience members. So it'll be an interactive component. It'll also be a didactic component. But it'll be most importantly and probably, most significantly for anyone that attends a chance to really learn about what drives them in terms of their own lives and their own personal lives, and potentially what drives others that are close to them. And I imagine that, and it is my goal, that people that leave from the session will come away with a better sense of purpose for themselves, and will be equipped with tools to help make a larger impact again on the world.
Great.
Very good.
One question for you before we leave here. How close are we to brain transplants?
How close are we to brain transplants? That's a good question. I think we still have a little bit of ways to go with that.
All right. Well, we do need to let you get back to the patient that's on the operating table. We appreciate you stepping out mid-surgery to give this interview. No, of course, I'm teasing. But we certainly do appreciate your time. We know you're a busy man. Your session is going to be Friday, August 23rd from 1 to 2 p.m., and it sounds like a very intriguing topic, so appreciate you spending some time with us.
Oh, absolutely. We will welcome everyone with open arms, and I promise that it will be something that will be a great life experience and something that will change the course of one's life positively for the better after.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dr. Teta.
All right. Thank you. You guys have a great day. Thank you so much.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye. And joining us now from Venice Beach, California, is author, speaking coach, and humorist Judy Carter. Judy, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Judy.
Yay. I am so excited to be speaking at the Toastmasters International Conference.
Yes.
Wow.
In Ohio.
Yeah, I know that. I was getting my passport ready, going, I'm doing an international gig. And then I went in Cincinnati. I think the only international thing about it is I will eat at the International House of Pancakes.
There you go. Got good stuff.
Swedish pancakes.
All right. So, Judy, your session is entitled Speaking and Finding the Message of You. Is that the message of you or the message of me?
Well, it depends where you're standing. It's the message of you, Bo.
Okay, thanks.
And what it means is that there are two kinds of speakers that I have found, because I coach a lot of Toastmaster speakers, and I also coach a lot of comics. And here's the thing. There are the speakers who are in it because they have a mission to inspire somebody. They want to make a difference in people's lives, and they want – and they take my workshop because they want to be entertaining and they want to find, you know, get their laughs. And they want to find those stories that are just going to really move people. And that's really great. But then there are the speakers, and you know who they are. They didn't get enough attention from their parents. And they're in it to get something from the audience rather than to give to the audience. They need attention. They need laughs. And we've all been in front of those speakers because they make us want to poke our eyes out with a pencil. They are so frigging boring. Right. And here's the thing. They don't realize that they have something so valuable to give. And that is their message. The message of their life, what they stand for. And in this session, what I'm going to do is help people find their message, because most people find their message after they're dead. Oh. You know what I mean? Like at a funeral, you're going to hear someone talk about and tell stories about you and oh, what you stood for, and oh, this woman stood for empowering women. And this guy was always made me feel better about myself. And this person always made me laugh. But you're not going to be able to correct them because you're going to be in the box. So I'm on a mission that everybody knows their message while they're alive.
That's a good idea. And, you know, you could hook up a speaker system to the coffins now to be able to transfer that message to people talking about you at your funeral.
Well, that's really creepy.
I saw that on SkyMall.
But here's the thing. We all have heard those speeches, and they're very compelling. And I have always found from all the comics that I've coached, you know, I've coached a lot, you know, like Jerry Seinfeld and Jay Leno.
Uh-huh. Heard of those guys.
Yeah, they never took my class. But, but Seth Rogen and the younger breed of comics that have come up, I've coached them, I've worked with them. And what audiences are looking for is really you at your core, your authenticity. So a lot of Toastmaster speakers, when trying for the comedy contest that comes up, they'll make up some crazy speech. Like they'll make up a story. And what they find after working with me and what people find after attending my session is that you already have that amazing story. You already have a story that's so compelling, so dramatic, that can inspire people. And it's already funny. You don't have to make up anything. And the place to look is in the word message. It's the first four letters. That is?
Mess.
Exactly. And all comedy, all inspiring stories come from a speaker's journey from mess to success. So I'm going to show you that your problems can be turned into punchlines, not the reverse, not to find something really hack, like sense, and they were naked, and the toilet, you know, reverse flushed on me, and you know, all that BS that I see a lot of speakers do. I want to show people the amazing ability that each one of them has to find that signature story within them, find their eureka moment, and show them that it's not the subject of what you talk about that's funny, but how you tell it. And there's some very specific comedy techniques that can be used to make a story very, very funny. But the story has to start with what I call the title of my new book, which is The Message of You.
Judy, I have to ask you, I keep thinking, but there are people I know, Toastmasters, non-Toastmasters, who are just boring. Let's just be honest, kind of boring people that aren't very interesting when they tell a story. Do you believe that truly everyone has this within and it's a matter of just tapping into it and showing them how to find it and unleash it?
Absolutely. My experience has been that people look in the wrong place to find their funny, and they don't realize it's a huge wake-up call for everybody to where I go, well, that's my story. Yeah, you're speaking and you started with a speech impediment. That's amazing. And people don't realize that their core stories are usually based in their childhood of something that they've had to overcome. And you can't be living on this planet as a human being and not have had something you've had to overcome. But you usually, because it's somewhat painful, you don't want to think about it. So when it comes time for you to talk in public and do a speech, you're going to present, look how great I am. Look how wonderful I am. Look at my credentials. But the truth is, those of us who are willing to reveal maybe the place where we weren't so successful, and that then creates the story, because it creates the journey from how did you get past whatever difficulty you had to deal with. Whether it is, and I'm not talking about severe abuse, or I'm not talking about car accidents. Sometimes it's a very simple thing of having how you grew up with engineers and learned how to have a sense of humor. You know, sometimes it's the skill that you got from whatever situation that you've been in. I had a client who felt like, what do I have, Judy? I have nothing. I'm a stay-at-home mother, right? What am I going to speak on? 100 ways to make a hot dog casserole? I have nothing, right? So she felt she had nothing. I came from a happy family. Everything's been great. And I go, well, what mess are you dealing with? And she said, well, my son was, you know, had behavioral issues. And I went, really? Tell me about that. Well, you know, he was screaming every time I took him someplace. Like, everybody looked at me. They're ready to call Child Protective Services. And I go, really? Well, what did you do? Well, the experts, you know, everything they said didn't work. But I discovered a way that I realized I was agitated. So I found a way to calm myself down. And then that translated him. And I went, well, that's an amazing story. She goes, what? Really? And I go, yeah. Now, of course, this isn't its raw form, but then we had a lot of comedy about it, a lot of the situations, we found the scene. Well, guess what? She got a book deal.
Wow.
Oh, no way.
She got a book deal because here's a mother who found a way to deal with children with behavioral issues. And she was taking my speaker workshop because her husband was. But it ended up, she was the one that ended up with all these speaking engagements because, as she says now, Judy, now I have a message. I have something to say. I want to say it to every parent. And that's the wake-up call that we realize when we look into our life and see how much we have to offer and how funny it is, how inspiring it is. And most people don't realize how much they know and how much what they know is worth.
Great. Wow. Well, it certainly sounds like you have a lot to offer, Judy, and our listening audience will certainly look forward to hearing you Thursday, August 22nd in Cincinnati from 11:30 to 12:30. And we really appreciate you taking some time to come on the show and share with us about your session.
Yes, thank you.
Great. And everybody will walk out of my session knowing their mess to success story, what makes them special, and some comedy formulas on how to get walk on stage and how to get people to love you within 30 seconds. So I'm excited about it. Not so much about Cincinnati, but I'm excited about meeting everybody and seeing you guys there.
Sure.
Awesome.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you being on with us.
Take care.
Bye.
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 Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.